We're going to start.
Okay. Good morning. We'd like to bring the House Committee on Business and Labor to order. This morning we have a shortened agenda, and we have one bill up this morning, and it is concerning a tax credit, which our committee's been instructed to review before it has a subsequent referral to the Joint Tax Credit Committee. So we already had a committee a little bit of a primer from Chris Olenek on a different bill, which we did not get into. So with that, I will open a public hearing on House Bill 2114.
Mr. Chair, committee members, this measure extends the sunset for the tax credit for employer-provided dependent care and assistance to the year 2022. And as the chair referenced, the committee heard House Bill 2116, which was a tax credit to the users of the service, but this is the employer-provided tax credit. Employer tax credit for employer-provided services.
Thank you.
Yeah. Job of that.
So with that, we'll have Chris Olenek come forward and explain to us this process and more specifically about this particular tax credit. And if Deanna, you want to also come up? Or do you want to just sit around and wait and see if there's a revenue question? Okay, thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Chris Olenek, Legislative Revenue Office. And just for some context, touching base on the prior time I was before the committee, there we have the whole tax credit review process, and there's the tax credit report that is the first time the report has been created was released, and I believe that's in OLIS. It's mm-hmm. the full report, and there is a chapter in there on child care because there are four tax credits related to child care. Just to help put this one in some context. Two of those credits are consumer tax credits, so the people, the parents or the guardians who pay for the child care can get a credit against their taxes for those costs. And then there is the tax credit in 2114, which is a tax credit for the employer who helps provide referral and information services to employees to find child care. And then the fourth one is, I've referred to it as kind of a regulation one. It's for contributions to the Office of Child Care, which has a certain role in, for lack of a better phrase, regulating the child care industry, and contributions to that office receive a tax credit. So the one before you is the employer tax credit. And just some background on this one, it was created in 1987, and there were two pieces to it at the time. And as I went back in research for the report, the implementing legislation stated that quote, incentives are needed to encourage employers to provide daycare assistance to their employees. And a key piece of all of this tax credit review process is trying to gain a better understanding and better clarity around the purpose for the tax credits so that they can be evaluated with respect to those purposes and goals to see if they are achieving their goals, with the ultimate decision to be being whether or not to continue the tax credit or to modify the tax credit so that it could better achieve its goal. At the time, there were two aspects to the credit. One of them was it was 50% of the employer's cost to provide referral services or dependent care assistance payments up to $2,500 per employee. And the second piece of it was for the construction or renovation of daycare facilities for the employees. And that was 50% of the cost, or $2,500 times the number of employees, or $100,000. And it was taken uniformly over 10 years. The facilities piece has since sunsetted. So the policy that you're considering now that's in 2114 is just the tax credit for the referral services. So again, that's 50% of the costs paid up to $2,500 per employee. And 50% of the cost of providing the referral services. In terms of the number of people claiming the tax credit, there is a chart in the report on page 48 that shows the amount claimed, which has varied between about $1.5 and $2.5 million since 2005, and the amount used has ranged from about $500,000 to $1.5 million. And the difference between claimed and used, claimed is the amount that taxpayers are eligible, and it's the amount that they write on their tax return. The amount used is the amount that actually is used to offset tax liability. And the difference is that there will be taxpayers, for one reason or another, who don't have sufficient tax liability to use the full credit. And this credit has a 5-year carry forward. And just for more context and an order of magnitude, there are about 12 corporations currently claiming the credit each year, and about 80 personal taxpayers claiming the credit. So the 12 corporations seems to be pretty clear. People understand the notion of the corporation. On the individual side, the 75 or 80 individuals who claim it, those are going to be your smaller businesses, and we don't know how many businesses that consists of. It could be one business with 75 or 80 shareholders, or it could be two businesses with 35 or 40 shareholders. As people may know, businesses other than C corporations pay their tax through the personal income tax side. So those will be partnerships, S corporations, LLCs. So I don't know the number of businesses, but it is about 75 or 80 individual taxpayers. Most of the use of the credit in dollar terms is on the corporate side. About 1.7 million gets claimed each year, and about 600,000 is used for corporations. And on the individual side, it's about 300,000 being claimed and 150,000 being used in terms of net liability. So about half of the credit is being used to reduce tax liability, and the other half is being carried forward. So that's a relatively brief summary of the tax credit.
Thank you. Questions, Representative Nose.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chris, can you tell us which 12 corporations they are, or their relative wealth? I mean, are these small 12 corporations, or are they big ones that have a lot of capital and a lot of resource? Or do we have no way of knowing that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nose, I'll see what information I can provide, but any details, the disclosure statutes for tax information is very tight. It's a C felony for disclosing any particulars. So any detailed information I can't provide, but I can look into it to see if there's anything broad, more broadly that I can. But the specifics I can't.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
It'd be interesting to see who's taking advantage of this, right? I mean, I think it would inform my opinion about whether this is a good tax credit or not. Would those corporations continue to, offer some sort of child care if we didn't offer? I mean, it'd be helpful to know how this is really working, but it's hard to judge it if we don't really know who's taking advantage of it.
Representative Widener.
Mr. Chair, I think we should be careful on naming people and what they're doing on their taxes. I don't think any of us would like that public information. And I don't think we should be putting our tax credit in the line of fire or something like that with disclosing that information. So,
yeah, there's probably some rules about that.
Yes.
I'm sure there's a law someplace.
There is. He just said there was.
It's a very tight law.
Yes.
Even acknowledging who files a return.
Sure.
So are there a set of rules that whoever approves these tax credits is qualifying? The specifics of what does qualify for this tax credit? Because when you look at the bill, it really doesn't give us any information whatsoever about the policies behind this tax credit. So pretty hard to judge unless we have that sort of background. So
that's one of the tricky things about the bills. All of these sunset bills really contain this specific piece about the date. So you just see the date moving. It doesn't give you. I believe the Office of Child Care certifies the tax credit, and I get more information on that certification process, but there is a process set up. Because when it comes to the Department of Revenue, and this applies to a lot of tax credits where there's a certification, the relevant state agency that has the expertise in the field is the one that does the certification, and all that the Department of Revenue cares about is that it's been certified. They're not going to have expertise in energy policy or child care or any other areas. They just need basically a piece of paper that says that taxpayer X is allowed to claim this tax credit. And that's all the department, not to speak for the Department of Revenue, but that's all they really care about. And it's the responsibility of that other agency to make sure that all of the requirements are met for the eligibility of the tax credit.
And do we have figures about how much, how many dollars, maybe I didn't hear it, but how much in revenue this tax credit is annually, and how much is rolled over?
Each year, it's about, using round numbers, $2 million gets claimed a year, and $1 million gets used. I'm rounding some math here just to make it easier to remember. So on the tax forms, both individual and corporate combined, $2 million of tax credits gets claimed on the tax return, but only $1 million is actually used to offset liability, because there will be a number of taxpayers who, for one reason or another, aren't able to use their full tax credit. Mm-hmm. So if I could be a business, or I am a business claiming this credit, and my gross tax is, say, $500,000, and I am eligible for a tax credit that is $600,000, I will use $500,000 to reduce my liability down to zero, and then I will have $100,000 that will be unused, and I will get to carry that forward to my next year. And there is a five-year carry forward. So if I have a couple of bad years where I don't make any money, then I can still carry that $100,000 forward for a couple of years and then eventually use it. But after 5 years, then it goes away.
Is that typical of tax credits, that they carry over for 5 years?
Carry forwards are fairly common. The number of years that they get carried forward varies. And there is a bill that is up in revenue this week that looks at that policy of carry forwards and whether or not they should all have the same length. Some carry forwards are 3 years, some are five, some are eight. And then there are one credit, when it was initially created, there was an infinite carry forward, but that got changed to a five-year carry forward. And then some don't have a carry forward, and then there are also refundable tax credits, which one of the child care credits is a refundable tax credit, which if a taxpayer doesn't have any liability and they aren't able to use the full amount of the credit, whatever they are unable to use, they are issued a refund from the Department of Revenue.
So before I seem to be monopolizing the questions here, and I apologize to the committee, but I have one last question, and then I'll open it up to some others. Is there an ability to look at all of the child care tax credits to see, you know, because it seems like it may be an important for us to know, you know, the total universe of the child care tax credits and how they relate to each other as well. So in hindsight, maybe this should have all been in one committee, perhaps, but we're going to try to work this one. But that information on those other child care tax credits might be useful to us, and so I'll probably have my committee administrator kind of review those other tax credits too, and perhaps we'll get the Office of
Child Care,
because evidently they're not here today to help us walk through some of the policy differences between those different child care tax credits.
They have this one that they certify, and then they have contributions to their office, and they don't directly have a role in the two consumer tax credits.
Oh, who has the role in that?
Well, one of them is a connection to federal law. We're tied to federal. There's a federal child and dependent care credit.
Okay.
And our child and dependent care credit ties on to a lot of the federal definitions. We have our own calculation for the credit. And then we have a working family child care credit, which is the refundable credit, which is an Oregon-only credit.
Right. For people that get certified under that, there's no certification under that process.
Correct. Those are what we refer to as auditable items. If the Department of Revenue is doing an audit, then they would have to prove their expenses.
Or whatever. All right, Representative Evans.
I just have a comment and a question. First comment is, Chris, you've come before the Human Services and Housing Committee and done a very thorough job on all of the child tax credits over the last several weeks, and I've enjoyed those conversations, and I think that material is helpful. The question, though, is more of a statement in terms of a question of policy. I look at a tax credit as a public subsidy, and while I respect the fact that we don't necessarily need to know the names of the companies that are taking advantage of it, I will not support continuation of a tax credit that I don't know who it's supposed to help or why, because we have a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that we put our dollars in subsidies for tax credits that fulfill policies that we support. And let me put it this way. If anybody's listening or watching that's getting this credit and wants to explain why it should be continued, I think now would be a heck of a good time to come and explain why. Otherwise, I think the answer on this is pretty simple. Thank you.
Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I would like to comment on that. But these tax credits are meant to be incentives to produce benefit in the business world or just in basically in society. And so I look at this as a very good thing. As a matter of fact, for our employees, I was thinking of starting something like this up, but I didn't know that there was a tax credit available. And so when this policy comes up, how is it made known? I'm sure my accountant probably has a list that he got from the state or something of new tax law that comes out every year. But if he doesn't know that the company's even considering something like this, is there any kind of promotion? You know, when you offer an incentive like this, is there any kind of promotion that goes out to market this to the businesses that this would be a good thing, you know, to offer child care?
Chair Holvey, Representative Barreto. I'm not aware of any explicit marketing aspects of it. I don't want to speak for the department. I don't think they do any marketing of the tax credits are available. They provide a lot of information on all aspects of the tax system, and that credits would be part of that. The Office of Child Care, I believe, on their website, there's that. If one would consider that marketing, there's information there about the tax credits that are available. That still requires taxpayers to go out and seek this, and presumably, and you touched on the role of the CPAs. Arguably, that would be probably the strongest aspect of marketing. If you have a business or a taxpayer looking for the best tax advice that they can, that's why they would go to see a CPA or a tax lawyer. And presumably, that's how that information would come about. But I'm not aware of any marketing, as in commercials or anything like that.
Maybe I could ask Deanna Mack to come up now and. Just looking for a reason to bring her up, and I think Representative Barreto asked a question that Department of Revenue may have a little knowledge of.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Deanna Mack. I'm with Oregon Department of Revenue. And as to the actual marketing of the credit, the agencies that are the policy experts in the subject matter are the ones that would do any marketing on the credit. However, we do have outreach to our practitioner community, the CPAs. We have a publication, we call it 17 and a half, and it gives a fairly detailed overview to all practitioners on all of the tax credits and subtractions and deductions and how they're used. So if they are looking or shopping for the best deal for their client, they can find that information here in our 17 and a half. Go reach out to the Office of Child Care at Department of Education and then get more information from their website. Is that helpful?
Sure.
Okay.
And while you're there, you might as well address the issue of why we can't get the information on who's receiving specifically tax credits.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, ORS 314.835 protects information that is filed on a tax return from being shared. And it is, like Chris said, a Class C felony. So the Department of Revenue and Legislative Revenue Office are bound by those constraints. The Office of Child Care in their certification process may not be, because it is not information that is coming from a tax return. So they are the agency that is bound to certify this credit. So it could be that they have that information available to them. But the information, as as Chris and I have access to it, is from a tax return, and we don't really want a felony record. So that's basically it.
And to clarify, the legislature has granted the Legislative Revenue Office special authority to access that information, but we are, again, bound by the same statute. So while I can go over to DOR and have access to the information, as long as it's for legitimate purposes, I can't go over to DOR and say, well, I'm just going to browse the tax returns and see what's what.
No one can, actually.
Right.
We could get fired for that, so if we did that. So.
That's illuminating. More questions? Representative Nose.
So I hope we'll have – thank you, Mr. Chair. I hope we'll have the Office of Child Care come, because I think I agree with the representative from West Salem. We're making an allocation to organizations and businesses, and it's hard to judge how effective it is if we don't know who's taking advantage of it and whether or not they would not offer child care or whatever if this wasn't available. And, you know, it's not a very big amount of money, but it's, you know, it's something.
It is our intent to have them come. Just not able to get them here today. So any other questions? So I'm going to fire off with another question. So process-wise, if this committee reviews this tax credit, the purpose of us doing that is, are we, and for example, say we think there needs to be a change in the tax credit, do we draft an amendment and make a change to that tax credit, or are we just supposed to make recommendations to the tax credit committee?
Chair Holby, it could be my understanding of the intent from leadership for the process. It could be anywhere in that gamut. It could be simply anywhere from not moving the bill forward, deciding that the credit isn't, that the bill just shouldn't move forward, that the sunset should stand, all the way to moving the bill to JTAX and making all kinds of policy recommendations. You can increase the credit, you can reduce the credit, you can modify it in any number of policy ways. The overarching theme there would be a focus on what is the policy intent of the credit. I mean, what would you be trying to achieve by keeping the credit in state law?
So that recommendation could come in the form of us actually amending the credit and then moving it on?
Yes. And in the Appendix D of that report, there are the policy questions that are intended to help get some of that discussion moving to see where the members of the committee would like to land on the merits of the tax credit. And is there a problem? Is there a shortage? You know, is there some sort of market failure or some need for the credit?
So in the document you're referring to, I think committee is in OLIS. Mm-hmm. Ms. Norland is looking that up.
Three documents from Chris in OLIS that carried forward from when the committee heard 2116. And referring to Appendix B is the list of policy questions that Joint Tax is asking the Policy Committee to review and report to the Joint Committee on.
And some of the notion there the committee has already touched on this morning in terms of behavioral response. You know, what would happen if the tax credit were allowed to sunset? Would employers still provide these services? Or does the credit need to be doubled so that more businesses can provide that service?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that really the role of businesses to provide that service to employees?
Right.
I have a question.
Representative Doherty.
What's the, you know, we talk about tax credits, and usually we look at them as to what the fiscal impact is, and what is the total amount of tax credits that we gave on this certain tax credit? Do you know that?
In 1 year, the revenue impact is $1 million.
Was what?
$1 million.
Okay, not much.
Representative Nose.
I would just say when we bring this bill up again and we have the Office of Child Care here, we probably should schedule a lot of time to talk about it, because I think there's a lot of interest in this bill, just looking at how everybody's thinking about it and looking back and forth.
I'll be the judge of that.
Okay.
Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But you know, these things tie in a lot with other issues that we're discussing, like minimum wage. You know, and when child care for a lot of families where both the husband and wife are working, it takes a big chunk out of their pay. And if you offer businesses incentives to start up child care there, if that's an affordable thing for them to do, I think that would be a big offset in what we're looking at as far as helping out the lower income families. And so to take a look at this and say, well, dollars that are taken from the government, really, they're not the government's money until they're paid in. And so to say this is their money that are given back, see, a subsidy is money that's paid into the government, and then the government decides where they're going to spend that. You know, a tax credit is belongs to the company or the individual until they pay that to the government. So I think this would be a great, and this is why I was asking about marketing, because I think this would be a great tool to help out a lot of families in this situation.
You raise an interesting point, Representative Barreto. I'm not sure. I think I could debate whether or not that tax credit is actually public funds, because if I'm not mistaken, it shows up on your tax return as this is what you owe the government. But so and then we're going to reduce it for these specific reasons.
So does it deduction.
I think we could argue it both ways philosophically, but I'm sure they don't have an opinion on that. Representative Hurd.
It's just more of a statement. Forgive me for coming in late and not hearing the full scope of this, but I employ some young individuals with young families, and so I'm for any kind of a program that would help stimulate workplace, work-provided, employer-provided daycare, essentially, because I think it's going to help strengthen the family of the company between employer and employee, and I think it's most importantly going to help strengthen the bond between parent and child, because they're within a closer proximity of each other. The parent's going to feel much more comfortable, I think, when they know that, hey, Jimmy and Sally's just down the hall. I think it's a beautiful program to pursue, so I'm very much interested in hearing more about it.
Well, and to that end, tying back to kind of the policy questions there, in terms of potential modification, depending, again, on what the committee wants to do, the tax credit could be for certain kinds of child care, or child care within a certain proximity. It could be for on-site child care. It could be for child care of a certain quality. I believe there are efforts to have some sort of quality rating system for child care providers. It could be a subsidy for child care providers of a certain ranking, if you will.
Follow up. So just a point of clarification. So does this apply to employer-provided child care? Can it be on-site as well as off-site?
Yes. For right now, these are the referral services.
Okay.
So it's very broad in that sense. So one of the options for the committee is to keep it broad, or perhaps even make it more broad, but it's pretty broad now, or to fine-tune it, to focus it on a certain aspect.
Final follow-up.
Follow-up.
I'm hearing some discussion amongst the committee as far as who is getting the tax credit. I'm not overly confident I understand why it's a concern on who is getting it, as far as which company or how big and whatnot. The fact of the matter is, to me, especially if it's going to be on-site provider, employer-provider care, that's going to have to be a company of some size. A company like mine's got 2-3 employees. There's just no way I could ever do anything like that, no matter how big. I mean, the tax credit would have to be fully covering the expense, and I wouldn't promote that. So I think we need to be careful not to be too harsh on larger or medium-sized companies, because in reality, they're the only ones that can make it make fiscal sense.
Those are some of the implications as the policy debate, as the committee debates the policy. If, for example, running with the on-site, I mean, that's a good point, that if the committee wanted to focus on on-site facilities and provide a subsidy only for those, the implications of that will be the size of the business.
Right.
If you employ 1,000 people, that's one thing. But if you employ 3 people, there's a economies of scale issue there. That is not directly part of that policy, but it is an implication of the policy.
Thank you.
Representative Evans.
Yeah, really two things again. One, there are a lot of child care tax credits and other issues that we've spent hours learning about in the Human Services and Housing Committee. So I want to be very clear, I'm not against using market dynamics to incentivize good and smart investment. I think that's helpful. I think what's the question is whether this particular bill is the best of what's out there, or if it's even targeting the companies that would need the most help to be able to provide the best service. So data is helpful. Operating in the dark, not good. Second piece is, I don't think it's terribly wise to have a conversation about this bill absent the others, so we aren't more aware of what context is going on and how we can actually provide the kinds of assistance to do exactly what you're talking about, to make sure that we are providing businesses the best tool possible and employees the best tool possible. So I really look forward to future discussions about this and other options that are out there, and request that when we move forward on this, that we do have all of the bills at least access to through OLIS, so that folks can be familiar with the 4 or 5 or 6 or 20 different tools that are in the box. Thank you.
Thank you, and certainly we're fortunate that you're on that other committee at this point.
Hope so, sir.
Representative Doherty?
Yeah, I just have a question. How long have we had this tax credit in our code?
Since 1987.
Since 1987. There's been no problems with it? Obviously.
Problems.
I withdraw that question.
That's a loaded word.
I've had it for a long time. Thank you very much.
And just to clarify, when it was established in 1987, there were two pieces to it, the referral services and the construction of on-site. The facility referred, boiling down to the referral piece and the facilities piece. The facilities piece has sunset. It sunset 10 years ago?
Probably.
A while ago.
Thank you very much.
Other questions? You're not done with me quite yet. I see that there is a cap, according to our background material, for 50% of the cost paid up to $2,500 per employee. But then it goes on, and there's a 50% of the cost of providing referral services. So does the referral services piece have a cap on it in addition to the $2,500?
I don't believe the referral service, if I'm understanding the question, the referral services, there's not a cap on that. It's, the credit is just 50% of those referral services, but I can clarify that.
That would be good to know. I don't know if Deanna has that information or not.
I'm in the same spot as Chris, Mr. Chair. It would be something I'd have to verify, but I don't believe there is a cap on that component of it.
And speaking generally policy-wise for all of the tax credits, there are different kinds of caps. Some of them have program-wide hard caps that there's a lot of leeway within it, but it can't go above a certain level. This credit does not have that overarching cap. It does have some of the caps like that you just referred to. That's kind of and in that box at the top on page 47, I try to include pieces of information that are common questions, and there's a kind of cap there, and it's a taxpayer cap as opposed to a program cap. Again, just context.
Okay. That's good to know. And I guess last process question is, are you aware of what our timeline for making our recommendation to the Joint Tax Credit Committee is? Or when are they expecting our recommendation so I can make sure I allot enough time for this ongoing question?
Well, relying on recent history, 2011 and 2013, JTAX hasn't started meeting until May-ish.
Oh, okay.
And the only hard deadline that I'm aware of is the April 21st first chamber deadline. Now, there might be other, depending on how the caucuses are operating, there might be other deadlines or timelines that I'm not aware of. Right. In terms of process, April 21st.
So the Joint Tax Credit Committee doesn't have that April 21st chamber deadline, I would assume.
No, the revenue committees and JTAX are lucky enough to not be subject to if lucky is the right term.
Here's the first opinion I've heard from you. Any other questions? Well, I appreciate you giving us this overview so that when we get into this tax credit a little bit more with the Office of Child Care, we'll have a more robust understanding of what we're doing in committee. I recommend reading the materials about what is expected of us.
I'll throw my Kleenex away.
You know, if we're asking questions and policy considerations before we move this on. So, and perhaps you'll have an opportunity to come back and see us when we bring this back on our calendar, time permitting for you, of course. So thank you very much for your testimony this morning.
Sure.
And I up next, Jody Weiser.
For the record, I'm Jody Weiser, representing Tax Credits Oregon. So you've already actually brought up much of what I was intending to say. I do have a little personal experience with this tax credit. I know I don't know that this business uses the tax credit, but they would be eligible. In 1997, my home was rented to the director of the daycare center at Nike, where the employees could take their kids. Really convenient to be able to drop your kids at daycare, where you work, have lunch with them if you want to, and stuff like that. And as an early childhood advocate myself for years, that was my career before I came here. That's the very best of all possible situations for a family, that you have that time together in the car, that you can have time during the day. If your kid gets sick or lonely, you can respond to them. It's perfect. However, my guess is that the businesses who are providing this are also providing sports courts and athletic centers and free meals and all sorts of other benefits to their employees, most of which are not eligible for tax credits. But they are all part of how you recruit the very best employees to certain firms. And it's interesting that you can deduct this expense as a business expense if you're providing it. So why are we also providing a tax credit if we don't know who we're benefiting and whether we're really reaching needy populations or not? Because we have many kids eligible for subsidized care who don't get it because we don't have the subsidy dollars for it. Now, this morning, my neighbor directly across the street dropped his daughter off at daycare at Nike, where he works. I don't know that they are one of the businesses that use this tax credit. If they are, I don't know if they sell enough in Oregon to have enough tax liability to actually be able to use the credit that they are eligible for. And I don't know what proportion of the cost of care my neighbor pays, although I could find that out. But I am, and my guess is like yours, that this is where most of the money is going. It's to the same businesses really wonderful benefit packages. And it's, you have to ask yourself, it's already a deductible business expense. Should we also be giving it a tax credit and then not having money for the needy population that we aren't able to serve? It would seem to me that the Office of Child Care could notify the businesses and say, you guys are considering it. The bill has been around forever. I've watched it sunset before. You're the first committee that's given this kind of attention to it, and I really appreciate the fact that, the work is being done to see if the way we're spending this $1 million a year is the right way to be spending $1 million a year or not. If the business owners, if it's not worth their time to come here and defend it, then let it drop. If they come to defend it and you still don't think it's necessary, let it drop.
Thank you. Representative Hurd.
As far as why, I can only assume because I haven't engaged in this kind of a program. Maybe one of the reasons they're not here defending it is because it's been in effect since 1987, and most people would see it as a very beneficial thing for everybody involved. so they're probably saying to themselves, why would anybody consider dropping this program? As far as to Representative Barreto's point earlier, and I don't want us to get hung up on philosophy on whose money it really is, but I still have to make the point that when I earn an income as a private market business, until it leaves my pocket, it's my money. So regardless of whether I get a deduction or an incentive or whatnot, it's not the state's money until they actually have it and have actually paid it back to some program. Does it become a subsidy? In my opinion, it's simply a more heavier, it's a heavier tax write-off, I guess you'd say, a heavier deduction, essentially, is the way I see it. It's an incentive for employers to create the programs you referenced. Who's to say, since this has been in since 1987, who's to say those programs that those employers you referenced have would even have them today if this wasn't in effect?
My guess, given all the other things that are available to Nike employees, is that they would have this. They've had it for a long time. They were probably part of why we got the bill in the first place when they were establishing the facility. That would be my guess. And, I mean, as a child care advocate, I have advocated for businesses to have child care at their location. It's really just it's a question of allocation. It is a business expense. They get to deduct it. They get to deduct the walking path across the street from their campus that where the signs are posted that only their employees are supposed to use it. They get to deduct that as an expense. And it's a legitimate expense. It's an important expense. The question is whether we need to double benefit it by giving it a tax credit.
Follow up.
That's really the question that's before you.
Sure. Follow up.
So I guess my final statement to all that is that I don't see this as really helping the employer. I see it as truly the focus is to help the parents and the children involved, the employees. Yes, it does benefit the employer from the standpoint that if they're going to make this investment, it makes it make more sense to them fiscally. But there's really no way they're making more money off this. You could argue that they're making more money because they're able to draw in a higher level, higher quality employee. But there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. I feel like this is a great program, and I do want to see us dive into it further and make sure that we can, if we do keep it in existence, let's make it as fine-tuned and as perfect as we possibly can as a committee. But this is the kind of stuff that builds generational success, as my father always put it. When parents can engage with their children on a frequent daily basis, and they're not just this huge chasm and a gap in between them from daylight till dark because the parents are out working trying to make a living to provide for those children, you create much stronger future generations. And so I want us to just take a deep breath and let's stop bashing, or I mean, let me pull that comment back. Let's stop being so negative. By the way, ma'am, I'm not speaking. That comment's not directed to you. It's all of us. There's somewhat of a trend I've seen in the 5 weeks I've been here that if a business or an entity or a person is successful, that's almost like a bad thing. It's a good thing. We want future generations to see that giant, whether it's Nike or Microsoft or whoever, and say, I want to figure out how Bill Gates or Phil Knight got there so I can be like that. Because I have a theory in life that, and I'll finish up here, that the richer my neighbors are, the better off I am, because they're going to pay me to do things that I'm good at for them. And so I just want us to get back to having a theme of let's get back to being a prosperous country where we're happy that everybody's doing well. And if this program incentivizes anybody, super successful or otherwise, to help families stay closer together, I'm always a yes on that.
Representative Barreto.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. I did want to explain. I totally agree with Representative Hurd, but you said that the companies can write this off. Well, they can, but that's still a cost of doing business. They have to make money in order to write that off. And so this is different from what you're explaining. I mean, to write it off means it's still an expense. You still have to spend those dollars in order to provide this service, and this is an incentive to do this. And I think the biggest thing that I see in this bill is that there are a lot of companies like my own that didn't know about it. And it very well could be that this bill originally was sponsored by a big corporation and they knew about it, but a lot of other businesses, even the size of Dallas's, you know, we don't know about it, and we don't have people inside that are looking for these things out there either. And so this is part of the problem I see with what I think is a good idea, is it's not made known to the business community.
Yeah.
And before I get another question, I'd like Chris Olenek maybe to come back up to sort of answer the question about, are companies able to deduct this expense and then also take a tax credit for that same expense that they've just deducted?
Mr. Chairman.
Because the tax credit comes after what you owe the government, and the deductions come before.
Right. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Chris Olenek. I was taking notes, and I need to look into that a little bit further, because I'm not sure. The credit right now is for referral services, and if the child care is on-site, I'm not sure what those referral costs would be, because, the child care is down the hall. I'm not sure what those costs would be. So I was taking notes, and I'll dig into that a little bit more.
And you understand the question?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I don't think there is. On most tax credits, if you have a credit, you're supposed to go back and subtract out the deduction. Whether people actually do that, we don't know, but that's the way most of the tax laws are written. You don't get to do both. You do one or the other. But a tax credit is way more valuable than a deduction for most
certainly,
people.
Yeah, it's a dollar for dollar.
That's correct. The policy that's before you is the cost for the referral services. And if I'm the employer, and, I'm on site somewhere and the child care services are in a building, next door, I'm not sure what the referral costs are to send my employee down to the human services department of the company.
Well, the way I read it, there's more than just referral costs. But maybe I'm reading it incorrect. But eligible costs paid up to $2,500, and then it's and a percent of the cost of providing referral services.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering if they're taking this credit, or are they subtracting out the deduction
normally
that they already got for the costs?
Normally, the credit is an add back, so they don't get to deduct. The intent is that there is not that double dipping.
Yeah. Rips, who was next?
Oh, I don't know. Paul
I lost track. Representative Nos.
When the Office of Child Care comes, I hope they'll also be able to explain why only, $2 million is being utilized and $1 million is being spent, because we've heard a lot of discussion today about nobody knows about it. Like, it'd be interesting to learn, so if this is suddenly promoted or how it's being promoted, what's that going to do to the impact of this credit? I'm interested in that suddenly, since we're having a lot of discussion about promoting it.
Right. I think Mr. Olenek addressed some of that, but Representative Widener, question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jody, I didn't know you did child advocacy and stuff beforehand. So
I used to make the school lunch program available to daycare homes and had a child care information referral, started a nonprofit child care information referral service. That one of my careers.
One of the things, because I understand where you're coming from on this and making sure they're right, but one of the things is that this has to go through basically human services. They have to look at it and sign off on this to make sure it's legitimate. Because if it wasn't that, I would get excited, because now my employees would have access to get me daycare during the day, so they don't have to deal with me, so we can't be abused in that manner. So,
well, that's a novel idea.
I think actually some businesses are providing assistance with your elders as well as with your children.
But I'm just looking, with this one being in since 87, it looks like they've worked out a lot of the bugs in it when I'm looking at it. And, it is probably larger companies that are using it. But I'm almost wondering if we shouldn't, because to me this is a great thing. I mean, like what you're discussing, what Nike does, and they're a Fortune 500 company. We can't compare them to anybody else, but what can we do to get, these medium-sized facilities that employ 50 people to 100 people doing
or
this
even
stuff?
Cisco, which probably pays poorly but has lots of employees. And
yeah, to get them to have daycare close by and things like that, so you do have that family bond time. So I think this is something that we need to look at very seriously, and I don't know if you agree with me on that or not, but
I advocated for this bill when it passed because it's the right policy. It's the fact that it is not broadly used. It's used by companies. I mean, we could also say it'd be best if everybody had a 24-hour fitness at their place of work because more people would exercise, and that would be good for our society. But that's already happening at our very best corporations. And so if we created a tax credit for that, what we would probably do is just give tax credits to our very best corporations. It wouldn't mean that everybody else would start having a gym in their facility. And so we're not actually incenting behavior when that happens. Now, I would have loved to have seen this thing cost a whole lot more by now, because that was a long time ago. My children were little when this was passed.
Representative Evans.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chair. Just really three questions for when we have the discussion. The first one is, I'm still stuck on why only 12. That doesn't make sense to me. Like, if it's a good plan, and it may be a good plan, is it because it's still in 87 figures? Is it not conducive to the way business operates? Now, I'd like to know how we can either make it more effective, or the second question is, what happened to the second half of that piece? You said that on-site versus off-site. I'm curious about what we're currently doing for the on-site piece. And then the third question is, again, in context with everything else, perhaps there are more effective ways to incentivize businesses and help businesses if this language isn't correct. And that question would be for the CPAs, for the practitioners. What are they advising their folks? Because since 1987, if we're down to only 12 businesses, somebody somewhere is not sharing information. And maybe there's a good reason they're not. And I'm curious about that. So those are the three questions I have for when we revisit this. Thank you.
I think to clarify, though, it was 12 corporations, and there was
about a dozen corporations and 75 or 80 individuals. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many businesses are represented by those 80 individuals.
Individuals, right. Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I wanted to make one point, and that is this: the kind of the argument or the tension over whether it's on-site or off-site. If the business itself started an off-site daycare center, there is a cost to that. And so then if that original business paid that daycare center to care for those children, that's an expense to this business here. Now, all that does is make this business over here viable. It pays their bills, and say it's a nonprofit, still takes dollars from here to go over to there. So if he deducts these, or if he gets a tax credit on these dollars, he's not necessarily deducting these dollars, but he gets a tax credit, then that is an incentive for him, for this entity to exist, and him get reimbursed a portion of what he's paying for the employees. Is that the way you see it? So whether it's on-site or off-site, you know, there may be additional expenses to be in an off-site as far as building, but he's going to have a building on-site anyway. So it's kind of a wash. You know?
I believe that's correct if I'm following your example.
It also could be for referral services. There used to be no massive referral services, and individual businesses would have the names of some daycare providers in their neighborhood and some daycare centers in their neighborhood. But I mean, think back to then. Now there are a whole lot of big chain daycare centers, and there is, at least in the urban areas, good referral services. And so the business may be just saying, you need to call this agency, they do childcare referral. So if that may be part of the reason referral isn't used.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
We have exhausted our questions, it looks like. Round one is complete. Thank you so much for getting us started on this review. I appreciate your testimony. And Chris, thank you for sticking around. So with that, committee, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2114, and do encourage the committee to review the materials that we have on reviewing tax credits. It will be helpful when we actually have the Office of Child Care before us to talk a little bit more about the specifics of what they do and don't do. So with that, any other business? No good of the order. Be sure and clean up after yourself, and I will adjourn the House Committee on Business and Labor. And Labor.